that there's a right kind of music and there's a wrong kind of music. Or there's a godly music and there's a satanic music. Okay? And we have to be careful. And I know I talk about music a lot, but you know what? I like music. I grew up in the 80s and the 90s. Okay? And music was a big part of my life. My whole family is musicians. We've had albums cut down in Nashville with my family members. And I seem to be the only one that doesn't sing or play an instrument. But I got my own way of getting my voice out there, I suppose. But I just wanted to talk about the music we listen to. We talked about it a little bit on Thursday. But this blew me away, and I tried to print it out, and I printed it out in the office back there, and it printed a blank page. So I knew I should have printed one last night before I got here, because I wanted to hand this out, because I think everybody needs to have this stuff. But there is a technique used in the music industry called backmasking. Okay? Now, whether or not it's done consciously, I can't tell you. I'm not the guy making the music. Okay? And I've always thought that the music was the most powerful part of a song. I never really put a lot of stock in the lyrics. Okay? Because I thought that the music was the subconscious part of the song. But through the studying that I've done, you find out that they're both as equally powerful. Okay? And the reason I said about our hymns that they're nice, simple hymns that you know exactly what they're talking about and you can't really read anything into the music or to the words. Okay? They're straightforward. They tell you what they're talking about. But with this new contemporary music that we've got going on today and with classic music from older times, from generations before, you can interpret the music to mean a whole lot of different things. It can mean a lot of different things for a lot of different people. You know, one person can be, in a love song, can be singing to a woman, and somebody can be singing to a man. Or somebody could be singing to both of them. That's the way the music's written nowadays. It's written in a general type of way so that it applies to everybody so that they can sell more records. Amen? That's what it's all about. It's about selling records. Any musician will tell you, any contemporary musician will tell you that you don't play more than three chords, right? Because you lose your audience. Okay? And when you play those three chords, they're bound to just repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. And there's a power behind doing that. It keeps the attention of the listener. Okay? But you don't really see that in our hymns so much. Our hymns are like a story that gets put to music. Okay? And I wanted to pick on a contemporary band today. A few years ago, I was awakened to this band. They've got a beautiful song out there. It's called I Can Only Imagine. And it's a song about, it's a contemporary song about being in front of Jesus Christ. And it's an emotional song, and it's a song about feelings. It's a song about happiness and joy. And it talks about when you stand in front of Jesus, what that's going to be like. And the name of it is I Can Only Imagine, and it's by a contemporary band called Mercy Me. Now, years ago, I got on YouTube and I was listening to this song, and I decided to get on their YouTube page and just make a comment to maybe spark a little bit of dissent from their followers so that I could get into a conversation about clean music and unclean music. And I was met with threats. All I did was I said, man, because the lead singer of that band, his name is Bart Millard. And I put on there and I said, man, he's got a beautiful voice. Too bad he doesn't use it for God. Okay? And boy, did that really spark some angry followers of theirs. But you know you're messing with idolatry if you kick their God and they get mad over it. Right? You knock that statue over and they start complaining. You know what they worship. Okay, they worship that band. The followers do. It's not Jesus that they're happy about. They're happy. They want that person's music. They don't want Jesus Christ. So anyway, I had some good conversations with people that did some study, and no, I never heard of, you know, I went back and forth about 15 or 20 times with four or five people, and they said they'd study it out, they'd pray about it. Did they? I don't know. It's hard to give up. I'm telling you, that music, once it gets a hold of you, it's hard to give up, and when something makes you feel good, you don't want to get rid of it, amen? It's like the heat. You don't want to get rid of the heat in the house when it's cold out. You don't want to get rid of that AC when it's hot out. It makes you feel good, you know? Well, it's the same thing with music, okay? But anyway, I want to talk about backmasking today, okay? And this gets into an area of the subliminal mind, okay? And we don't really think about that much nowadays. But 30, 40 years ago, it was a big deal. Okay, it was, people were awake to it, especially the fundamental Christians. They were awake to rock and roll music and its effects on you. Okay, you can get online and you can check out the studies right now about rock and roll music. And you can check out the studies that they do in labs on lab rats. Okay, and they'll put, you know how they have the maze where the rat goes through the maze? And they give them different things to see what affects them getting through the maze and things like that. Well, they do experiments with that with rock and roll music and classical music. And they found out, the scientists found out, that when you play classical music to these lab rats on a regular basis for so many hours a day, that they can zip right through the maze. You play rock and roll music, not only can they not get through the maze, but they turn violent on each other, become cannibalistic, and become homosexual. These are the rats. So just imagine what that can do to you, listening to this stuff over and over every day. Okay? But I want to talk about backmasking. All right? Now, the Bible's very clear that we're to worship in spirit and in truth. Okay? And Paul says, "In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing." All right? So you have to apply that to your music. All right? If the music, I don't care what the lyrics say, if the music is speaking to your flesh, you better be careful. All right? You better be careful. If it wants to make you move, you better be careful. With worldly music, what you'll see is that the biggest issue with worldly music is the drum beat. Not so much the drum, but the beat of that drum. Okay? You have two kinds of beats, and I'm not an expert on tempos and stuff like that, but I know that the Africanized beat, the beats that the Africans were using, is not the same beat a typical marching drum beat. Okay? A marching drum beat, you have a 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. With the Africanized music, they add a beat, an emphasis in there, which, the regular drum beat causes your legs to keep moving. That's why they use it for marching. That's why they use it in war, okay, in warfare. But the Africans with the tribes, they would add an extra emphasis in that beat, and that would actually get their men into a frenzy, and it would make them want to go kill. Okay? And this is how they put people into trances. And they could tell them what to do, and they would go and do it just from the different beat. And not only that, but instead of your legs moving, it causes your pelvic area to want to move. Okay, this is exactly what happened to Elvis, okay? When he played normal music, when he went down to Nashville, he played normal music, and they used a bass instead of a drum. Okay, well, they put him on tour with Buddy Holly, and Buddy Holly was one of the first ones that used the African drum beats, and he started playing the African drum beats with Buddy Holly, and the next thing you know, record sales went through the roof, and you couldn't show Elvis from the waist down on television because of the way he was moving. All right? He wasn't like that before that. All you got to do is look back. You can go back on YouTube and look at early Elvis and watch him as he progresses through there, okay? Well, anyway, with this backmasking, it's very dangerous, okay? People say, oh, well, I'm not going to play a record backwards, all right? Well, listen, when you play something backwards, you can't understand the words, right? Okay? Well, when you hear a foreign language, you can't understand the words, right? But they're still words. Just because you can't understand them does not mean they're not being spoken. All right? And on this backmasking, I mean, this is so blatant. This is so blatant, I about fell off my chair when I listened to this. I'm not going to play anything in here, and I'm not going to go into huge detail, but I just want to spark your curiosity so that you check it out for yourself. Okay? I'm going to read the lyrics of the song, the way it forward, the way it's supposed to go. Okay? And you're going to see it's very innocent. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe will you be still? In awe of you, be still. Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine three times when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah, I can only imagine, surrounded by your glory, and then it goes through that whole thing again, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Goes through that again. To my knees will I fall? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. Now those sound like pretty innocent lyrics, and we might sit there and we might imagine what we're going to do in front of Jesus Christ, but we know. We have examples in the scripture of what we're going to do. We know what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ. Our works are going to be judged, amen? They're going to go through the fire, and we're going to receive rewards or we're going to suffer loss. We don't have to imagine about anything else, okay? But anyway, it seems innocent enough, okay? But let me tell you what it says if it's played backwards, and you say, oh, well, I'm never going to play it backwards, and I can't understand it. Well, listen, it doesn't have to be played backwards. They're words, whether they're played backwards or not. Those sounds are there. There is things that you can do for your garden that will make your plants grow. They can kill plants with music. You can kill plants with music. You can cause plants to grow well with music. You can kill water molecules with music. Okay? These are all scientific experiments that have been done. Okay? And there's actually tapes and CDs that you can buy for your garden that help your garden produce better. It affects life. Music affects life. But these are the words backwards, okay? The phrase, I can only imagine, it says, Nash, damn thee and only God. That's what it says backwards, okay? Forever worship you. We've made sure we'll verve. Verve is a Latin phrase, okay? And on this guy's website, he breaks down all of these words that we don't understand because it's a different language. He breaks them down what they mean. So I can only imagine backwards says, damn the only God, okay? And how many times did they say that over? I can only imagine, okay? And then it says, forever worship you. I told you what that means. Forever worship you. That means we've made sure we'll verve with the error of Satan. And I'm telling you, I listened to this backwards, and it says it plain as day. If you listen to it backwards, Okay? And then you can go on, and the word gnash is in there all through there. Every single phrase is another phrase listened backwards. They even name a person Charlie White. One of the phrases here. Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? It says, Sinash Charlie, and there, he sadly won't. Finally, with the numbers, don't. And they're finding Nash, Charlie White. See it with the learning roll. Sinash the old, Sinash Charlie. They're naming somebody in this thing. So I looked up Charlie White. You're not going to believe who this guy is. Terrible. He's a professor at a university, and he teaches abstract art, and his focus is the adolescent teen girl. And some of his art is perverted and pornographic. And they're naming him in their song. This is a Christian band. Okay? They're naming him in the song. I mean, they even name a spirit in here. They conjure up a spirit and give him a name. Okay? So if you want a copy of this, I can give it to you. Okay? But you need to know this stuff, because nowadays, Paul talked about the subtlety of Satan. And nowadays, we don't even think about that in a literal sense. Subtlety. Subtlety means that it's subtle. You don't realize it's happening. You know, you don't realize it, but you turn into a crazy person when you're driving a car. You think you're invincible when you're in that car. You don't realize it, but you're doing 60 miles an hour and you're 20 feet behind a car. There's no way you can stop if they hit their brakes. No way. You will never be able to stop. So when you're going down that interstate at 75 miles an hour and you're 20 feet behind a car, if he slams on those brakes, you're both dead. But we feel invincible in that car. That'll never happen to us. That's subtlety. Okay? So you have to watch it with this music. Okay? And they go in there and they get perverted with this. They name a spirit and they get perverted. Okay? Now some people say, oh, well, they're not aware that this is going on. And they may not be. Okay? But when you play the unclean music, you're asking for trouble. Okay, because they write a poem and then they put it to music, or they get music and then they put words to it. They don't do it at the same time. Okay? So they do one before the other. All right? So if they're writing this music and then they're trying to put words to it, they could be asking for trouble by using the unclean music. Or if they're using non-biblical, or they're using Christian lyrics, but it's non-biblical, they're asking for bad music. That might be a doorway into using bad music, amen? So you got to be careful with that, okay? And then you say, well, maybe they're not aware about it, but the logo for Mercy Me, their logo is an MM, stands for Mercy Me. One's forwards and one's backwards, all right? Which would be like which would be a clue to the people that are in the know that we're doing this on purpose. I watched a documentary. It was a 10-minute documentary on Mercy Me months ago, before I even saw this. This is how God works. He just brings you down a path and shows you these things a little bit at a time. I watched a documentary where it showed how they made it big, okay? And they were a 4-member band that played guitar and violins and pianos and things like that. And they toured the country. Churches were having them in all over the place. But they wanted to sell records. And they couldn't break into the scene and sell records. So they hired an agent, which is what everybody does, right? Somebody to promote them. And you know what he told them? He said, you won't get signed and you won't sell records until you get a drummer. So they went ahead and made the deal, and they got a drummer, which made it the 5th member of their band. Number 5 is a number of death, right? It's the 5th number of their member of their band, and immediately they broke into the scene. And they started selling millions of records. Now they're packing out stadiums across the world. just packing them out, 25, 30,000 people at a time. And you walk into their concerts and you see this. Okay? So it's very, you have to be very, very careful with this stuff. All right? If you want a copy of this, I can print out a copy and get it to you, or I can email it to you. But you got to be careful. All this music is on video games. You know, people say, oh, well, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? I'm telling you, it's subtle. It's in the movies you watch. A scary movie wouldn't be scary without the scary music. Okay? It's in the video games that your kids play. You know? Oh, well, that's just a hunting game. You can't find a hunting or a fishing game out there without heavy metal playing in the background. What does heavy metal have to do with fishing? Right? It's there for a reason, I'm telling you. We just have to stop being naive and wake up to what's going on. There are people out there that want to hurt you. They want to spiritually molest you. That's what they want to do. Okay? And they've got an endless supply of funds to do it with. Okay? So let's get into the lesson here. We got about 10 minutes. We can go ahead and knock some of this stuff out. And I won't go 100 miles an hour like I did last time. I'm thinking, oh, I got to get through this. I got to get through this. But you know what? It needs to be taught. We don't need to just get through it. It needs to be taught. We need to be able to look at the passages and understand what's talking about. Now, we're talking about rightly dividing, okay? And that's why I brought up the music, because you have to be able to rightly divide what you look at and what you listen to, the good from the bad, the clean from the unclean. Just like the Bible, you've got to be able to rightly divide this Bible. If you cannot rightly divide this Bible, you're going to get messed up. You're going to be in Hebrews, James, you're going to be in Jude, and you're going to be like, man, this is teaching that I can lose my salvation. And if you can't rightly divide, if you can't discern who's doing the talking, who's he talking to, and when, what time period is he talking about, you're going to be messed up and you're going to be insecure about your salvation. Okay? So you've got to be able to rightly divide. We need to learn these things. All right? So we were talking about the law. All right? I talked about how God uses the law lawfully. Okay, that's what we talked about last week, about how it exposes sin. God, there was no law for 2,500 years, and God brought it about. Why? Because of sin. God brought the law because of sin. Okay? Law convicts. Law exposes. All right? That was one of the lawful uses of law. Now, we touched on this a little bit when we were talking in the dispensations about the dispensation of law. Okay? So we ended with the lawful use of the law, okay? Because you got people running around there, and they're using the law unlawfully. They're using the law to actually justify what they do. Well, I haven't killed anybody. You see what I'm saying? Well, I'm not a thief. Yeah, you are. Yes, you are. Well, I'm not a liar. Yes, you are. You're a liar. You're a thief. You're a murderer. You're all of those things, the Bible says. Okay? And that's a lawful use of the law, okay? But there's people who could that pervert that. Okay, so now we're going to talk about what the law cannot do. What the law cannot do. So I'm going to give you some passages here, and we're going to see what the law cannot do through these passages. So look at Romans 3:20. I'm sorry, I started yelling again, didn't I? I need to calm down. Romans 3:20. Paul says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. What the law cannot do, the law cannot justify man. The law cannot justify man. So if you've got people saying they obey the law, just tell them that they're not justified. Stop using the law to justify what you're doing, because it doesn't work. Okay? The law cannot justify man or flesh. All right? Look at Galatians. Galatians 2. Verse 16.
what the law cannot do. No flesh shall be justified. 2:16. Now to Abraham, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, amen, it can't justify man, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now you can deal with these people all the time and they're going to tell you that, well, I do this and I do that and I don't do this and I don't do that. None of that means anything, because the law cannot justify you. All right? It's the faith of Jesus Christ. And notice that phrase. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. It's not your faith. It's not some great faith that you have or that you keep having that somebody else doesn't. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. Okay? It's the faith of Jesus Christ. So the law can justify no flesh. Look at Galatians 2 and verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Okay? These are simple passages that if you just get these written down, you can deal with these people. When we get out on the streets, just have some cue cards. You know? Just have a few cue cards. You know, just with a couple ideas. Just get a few cue cards with a couple ideas of conversation points that you can reference when you're talking to somebody. And when they bring this stuff up, just go to your cue card and say, hey, well, Galatians 2:21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. That's what you're doing. You're frustrating the grace of God. Okay? So the law cannot justify. Okay? It cannot justify. And righteousness does not come through obeying the law. It does not come through obeying the law. Look at Galatians 3. Galatians 3 and verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. These are plain verses where people, they're either not seeing this, or they're not being taught this, or they don't want to see it. Okay? But these are easy verses to show people. Look at Romans 8. Verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. You will never hear these people bring these passages up, because they're sitting in a church that is trying to justify itself through the law, and it can't be done. But they'll skip over these passages, okay? We need to know these. Look at Acts. Acts 13. We're talking about what the law cannot do. It cannot justify the flesh. It cannot justify man. And righteousness does not come by the law. Verse 39. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. It doesn't get any plainer than that. When somebody says, I obey the Ten Commandments, tell them, it's for naught. You need to have faith. You need to trust Jesus Christ. That's what justifies. It's the blood of Christ. The Bible says it's the blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. Look at Hebrews. We can even go into Hebrews, where people like to go and tell you that you have to obey the law. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 19, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Who's the hope? Amen. Right? It doesn't get any plainer than that. These people are getting messed up, okay? So that's what the law cannot do. Amen? So next week we're going to talk about what the how the believer is not under the law. All right? We'll continue in rightly dividing. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day and thank you for your truths, Lord. We just pray that we can believe them. We just pray, Lord, that you will get us out of this Laodicean mindset where we think we have all the knowledge, where we don't need anything else. Lord, help us to be curious. Help us to keep searching and to keep proving things to be holy or unholy, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you be with us today as we worship. We pray that we can be a blessing to thee. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.